It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station. Our offices and studios are up here on beautiful Signal Hill, where it is foggy and misty, 54 degrees. 87% humidity out at the airport right now. They have east winds to 6 miles per hour. And they're saying about 5 miles of visibility right now. They're still calling for partly sunny skies today with a high near 66. East winds to 5. Mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 51. East winds to 5, becoming calm this evening. And partly sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 66. Calm winds becoming southeast around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Kodiak History Museum gives their employees a little pay bump. State health officials are warning Gulf of Alaska subsistence harvesters to get their shellfish tested. And the latest fire report. Those stories and more coming up.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Women and men across the U.S. are processing the seismic impact of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision today to overturn Roe v. Wade, the ruling that legalized abortion across the country nearly 50 years ago. President Biden says now it's up to Congress to do what the conservative majority on the high court would not.
Let me be very clear and unambiguous. The only way we can secure a woman's right to choose, the balance that existed, is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade as federal law.
The evangelical Christian nonprofit Focus on the Family is celebrating today's ruling. Here's Colorado Public Radio's Dan Boyce.
The Colorado Springs-based Focus on the Family has long been one of the most prominent national voices opposing abortion rights. Organization President Jim Daly says he believes it's more appropriate for abortion to be decided by the legislative branch than by the courts.
That's where it should be if we're all playing fairly. And, we'll go to work to try to convince the Congress that life is a better choice.
Meanwhile, Colorado's state legislature passed its own law securing abortion rights earlier this year. For NPR News, I'm Dan Boyce in Colorado Springs.
Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan Chase, Disney, and other major companies say they will cover expenses for women who have to travel out of state to get an abortion. A bipartisan gun safety bill is headed for President Biden's signature, a desk for his signature, rather, after a series of mass shootings that have failed to trigger congressional action for several decades. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports lawmakers said the bill's passage is a landmark moment for Congress, while gun safety advocates say it marks an important step toward preventing gun violence.
The bill includes a narrow set of policies to expand background checks for gun buyers under age 21, enlists new restrictions for people convicted of domestic abuse, plus invests in schools and mental health. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
As I say to members all the time with legislation, do not judge it for what isn't in it, but respect it for what is. And there's much to be respected in this legislation.
The passage comes 1 month to the date of the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
A Russian military cargo plane reportedly crashed. Officials say the aircraft was on a training flight southeast of Moscow when it went down. State media report at least 4 people on board were killed and several others were injured. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up more than 800 points. This is NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
In for KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The Kodiak History Museum's Board of Directors approved a 23% pay increase for museum employees last week. As KMXT's Dylan Simard reports, there were many reasons for the pay bump, from equitable pay for women to rising costs of living due to inflation.
The wage increase will cost the museum $121,000 next year. It goes into effect next month for all six staff members. Kodiak History Museum Executive Director Sarah Harrington says the increase in wages will be cost-effective for the museum in the long run.
Staff members are the biggest assets we have at the museum in serving our community. And by hiring, by attracting and retaining staff who are well-qualified for their positions and can basically give the museum more bang for its buck in terms of the services that we offer, we can show that that investment is well worth it.
Harrington says there were a number of reasons for the wage increase, including pay equity for women in the museum workforce. Over the years, the Kodiak History Museum has been run by volunteers before moving to paid staff, according to Harrington.
But those positions were largely labors of love, and typically they employed women who were interested in doing the passionate community-building work that the museum still does today, but at often part-time or undercompensated wages.
Harrington says the museum also considered Kodiak's competitive labor market in their decision, and employers around the country are facing hardships staffing their positions. Margaret Greutert is the collections manager and grants coordinator for the Kodiak History Museum. She started at the museum 4 years ago and says that the pay increase goes a long way for young professionals like her.
I was about a year out of grad school, strapped with student loan debt and being asked to move to a relatively expensive remote location that I wanted to go to, but that can be a hardship for people, especially if your starting salary is well below some other institution.
According to Harrington, the museum is able to fund the wage increases without tapping into its endowment fund. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
State health officials and researchers are urging Gulf of Alaska subsistence harvesters to get their shellfish tested to prevent paralytic shellfish poisoning. That's after a sample of razor clams from Chignik Lagoon late last week tested for levels of toxins 8 times higher than the limit deemed safe for consumption by the Food and Drug Administration. Paralytic shellfish poisoning is an illness caused by a marine toxin. It's serious and sometimes fatal. Bruce Wright is the chief scientist with the Kinnick tribe and oversees regional shellfish testing. He says that rapid ocean warming in the Gulf of Alaska in late May has made the water conducive to Alexandrium blooms, which produce the toxin responsible for paralytic shellfish poisoning. And it's only gotten warmer throughout June.
From Sitka all along the coast, up close to the coast, along Kodiak, Lower Cook Inlet, out the Aleutians, including the southern Alaska Peninsula, the water temperatures had increased 3-4 degrees. And we're now pushing 8 or 9 degrees.
Matthew Forrester is the Biological Analysis Section Manager with the State of Alaska's Environmental Health Laboratory, which processed the Chignik Lagoon sample on behalf of the Kinnick tribe. He says water temperatures can vary from beach to beach, but testing is critically important any time of year.
The only safe shellfish to consume is shellfish that has been tested.
Subsistence shellfish harvesters can send in their samples to the state lab for a $125 fee. The Southeast Alaska Tribal Ocean Research, or CTOR, in Sitka also offers testing for $75. The Kodiak Area Native Association's free shellfish testing program ran out of funding at the end of last year, and CANA has not been able to provide testing since then. The omnibus spending package passed last spring does include $50,000 in federal stopgap funds to jumpstart the program, although CANA won't receive the funds and be able to start testing again until September. Shellfish sold in restaurants and stores are subject to their own regulatory testing. A wildfire in the city of Anchorage drew a big response on Thursday, according to the Division of Forestry. The Dowling Fire near the Campbell Track was boxed in at 5 acres using retardant drops. Meanwhile, in the interior, Alaska Fire Service Information Officer Andy Gray says work continued on several blazes in the Tanana Management Zone, including the Hutla Nana Fire, 10 miles east of Manly Hot Springs.
They did use the Fire Boss tankers extensively, and no significant growth on that one.
The Hutla Nana Fire had burned 327 acres as of Thursday. Firefighters also continued operations on another blaze in the same region. Gray says the six-acre boulder fire is along the Tofte Road between Manly Hot Springs and Tanana.
They've got quite a bit of work out there with black spruce, real heavy black spruce, and they have no water. They have ordered a water tender, which is just a big, road-based tanker truck, and what we call a pumpkin, a big water tank.
Gray says four other fires about 20 miles southwest of Manly have merged into two, and efforts on both focused on protecting cabins and native land allotments. Progress was reported Thursday on the Fish Fire west of the Dalton Highway on mile 116. A control line has been cut and laid with hose, but the nearby BLM Arctic Circle campground remained closed as of Thursday night. The Fish Fire is one of six along the Dalton being overseen by a management team. South of Fairbanks, the Clear Fire, 6.5 miles northwest of Anderson, is also under the control of a management team. And last night, Information Officer Bud Sexton said things were looking pretty good over the 1,900-acre fire.
We did see a little bit of hot spots, so we would call in some air support so they could drop some water on that to help really cool off some of those edges.
Sexton says the structure protection work continues for cabins along the Teknalanika River, and eight properties have been addressed so far. With a lot of lightning over the past week, State Forestry Fire Information Officer Sam Harrell says there's concern that smoldering lightning strikes will yield new fires.
It could be the perfect storm or not, but we're anticipating that.
The forecast is calling for conditions prone to wildfire. The National Weather Service meteorologist Dakari Anderson says high pressure is building over much of the state,
which means we're going to see a decent increase in temperatures across much of the Middle Tanana Valley, Central Interior. With this weekend, we're going to see temperatures rise into the upper 70s, and then by the beginning of next week, get into the low 80s.
Anderson says the dry air mass will be less conducive to thunderstorms. Senator Lisa Murkowski was one of 15 Republican senators who voted to pass a bipartisan gun safety bill on Thursday. The bill expands background checks for young gun buyers and also funds school safety and mental health programs. As Alaska Public Media's Katie Anastas reports, Murkowski called the bill responsible and says she doesn't think it infringes on Second Amendment rights.
The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act seeks to expand background checks for people under 21, protect victims of domestic violence, fund mental health resources, and improve school safety. A bipartisan group of senators began drafting the legislation after the recent mass shootings at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the American public has called for action.
After every mass shooting, we cannot come together. We cannot come to terms. So we say our prayers are with the families. But this is complex. This is too hard. We can't do it. And so we do nothing. That's not responsible leadership.
Murkowski spoke at a news conference called by her office to explain how the bill would impact Alaskans and to, quote, debunk misinformation about the bill, unquote. If it passes, the bill would be the first gun control measure approved by Congress in decades. The bill would expand the background check process for people under 21 looking to buy firearms by including juvenile records. It also seeks to close what's known as the boyfriend loophole. Currently, perpetrators of domestic violence are banned from buying guns if they're married to the victim. Under this bill, that policy would also apply to long-term dating relationships. The bill also includes funding for community and school-based mental health services, including additional mental health training for school staff and pediatric primary care providers. And the bill provides $750 million to help states run crisis intervention programs. That could include red flag laws in some states, But Murkowski says states would not be required to establish red flag laws if they don't want to.
It gives states flexibility for different types of programs. So in Alaska, we have the mental health courts, we have drug courts, we have veteran courts. We can use these crisis intervention funds to help the state of Alaska fund these exact types of programs or other assisted outpatient treatment programs.
Murkowski says she's hopeful Alaskans will support the bill. She notes that it does not establish a red flag law for Alaska or raise the minimum age to purchase a gun. Instead, she says the focus is on mental health resources, school safety, and closing major loopholes.
That has all come about without new restrictions or bans or waiting periods or mandates for law-abiding gun owners. I mean, so when you look critically at what we have put in place, the ones that need to be worried about this measure passing are violent criminals and those who are adjudicated as mentally ill.
Murkowski is currently running for re-election, but says that did not impact her decision to support the bill.
The timing is what it is. And I can't look at a matter like this, as significant as this is, and say, well, I've got to test the winds here to see what is right because I am up for election. This needs to be a vote that I will stand by regardless of whether I am at the end of a six-year term or at the beginning of a six-year term.
In a statement, her main challenger, Republican Kelly Chewbacca, wrote that Murkowski's support of the bill proves that she doesn't respect the Second Amendment. But Murkowski argues she's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and that the bill doesn't infringe on Second Amendment rights. Senator Dan Sullivan did not vote to move the bill forward. In a statement, he says he doesn't support any legislation that infringes on Alaskans' Second Amendment rights. In Anchorage, I'm Katie Anastas.
And that bill has passed the House and is on its way to President Joe Biden's desk for his signature. Anchorage's ombudsman says he's reviewing complaints about a T-shirt that the city's human resources director wore at a meeting last week. The T-shirt had a message of support for Anchorage's library acting director, Judy Allege, who has been the subject of numerous complaints to HR. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan has this report.
A video of a library advisory board meeting shows Human Resources Director Nikki Chewbacca in a T-shirt that says on the front in bold, large text, "I'm with Judy." The T-shirt is a reference to the library's acting director, Judy Allege. East Anchorage Assemblymember Forrest Dunbar says he's concerned the message the T-shirt sends. He says the head of HR is supposed to be investigating workplace complaints and disciplining for violations.
It's a little bit like if the victim showed up at a criminal trial and the judge was wearing a T-shirt that says the victim is lying. So it's totally inappropriate for the HR director to do this.
Dunbar says the message could also show bias in the HR department. He worries that could increase the potential for lawsuits against the city from employees who allege discrimination or hostile workplace. Similar shirts were listed for sale on a conservative blog shortly after Alaska Public Media published a story detailing employees' complaints about the workplace environment under Allege and offensive comments they say she made. It's unclear what action, if any, HR took in response to those complaints, which date back for months. Some employees say they weren't comfortable bringing complaints to HR because of the director's outspoken political views, according to Ombudsman Daryl Hess. Hess spoke at an assembly work session earlier this month.
These employees were extremely adamant they did not want to go through HR. They were very clear to me. They stated they did not trust HR, that the current director is very politically vocal and active, and they were concerned that HR staff would feel pressured regarding any investigation.
Chewbacca's wife, Kelly Chewbacca, is running as a Republican for U.S. Senate. His daughter, Denali, was listed as a teen liaison during the Library Advisory Board meeting. She was also wearing an I'm with Judy T-shirt. Nikki Chewbacca sat next to Elledge through most of the meeting as Elledge spoke about staffing issues and defended herself against allegations.
I don't think that I have created a hostile environment. And I think if you ask the majority of people around here, have I? I haven't given any demands to anyone. I haven't thrown any books off the library shelf. I get accused all the time. There's not one book missing on this library shelf. I have looked at books because I've had complaints about them and they've gone back on the shelf.
Hess, the ombudsman, said in a phone call that three people have complained to his office about the T-shirt. He says he's likely to request an opinion from the city's ethics board about whether wearing the shirt was appropriate. Chewbacca and the mayor's office did not respond to questions. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trenin.
Inside Daily Radio.
Maybe it's your mom and me. Say, I'm a greedy bigger.
Before her passing at age 86, renowned poet, author, dancer, actress, and singer, Dr. Maya Angelou signed off on a unique 7-year album project. Entitled Caged Bird Songs, the release skillfully pairs the legendary poet's illuminating commentary about life and social issues with a contemporary fusion of hip-hop, R&B, blues, and jazz. We spoke with producer Sean Rivera about this unique musical project.
I think that Maya appeals to people across various racial and cultural divides. Because she's actually straddled that divide personally. Like, she's someone who has taken a journey from Stamps, Arkansas, through an abusive childhood. You know, all of her, the work that she's done within theater and film, the work that she's done as an activist and an educator, being a best-selling author, a Nobel laureate, she's a woman who has taken the time to reach across from where she was to where we are. So the music is a reflection of that, and her work is a reflection of that. I think everyone kind of, she's a magnetic personality, so there's no surprise that people are drawn to her from all walks of life.
I'm the best that ever done it. That's my title and I want it.
That's producer Sean Rivera on the album Caged Bird Songs, the posthumous release of the late Dr. Maya Angelou. There's more online, insightdailyradio.org.
Discrimination is real. If you have experienced discrimination based upon your race, religion, color, national origin, physical or mental disability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity, the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights can help. The Human Rights Commission fulfills an Alaska constitutional civil rights mandate and is here to investigate your claim at no cost and potentially make you whole through an award of back pay or otherwise. Please call 1-800-478-4692 to discuss your discrimination claim or file online at humanrights.alaska.gov.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Friday. It is the 24th day of June, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 5:09. It will set again at 11:15. That will give us 18 hours and 6 minutes of daylight, a loss of 27 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 37. That was set in 1976 and 2009. And our record high for this date was 80 degrees, set in 1953. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up at 5:19 on the east side this afternoon. That will be a 2.4-foot tide. That'll be followed by a high tide at 11:46 this evening of 8.3 feet. And our morning low tide for tomorrow will be at 6:50 a.m. and be 0.1 foot. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 6:10 this evening. That will be a 3.9-foot tide in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide after midnight at 12:16 a.m. That will be a 13.3-foot tide. And your low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 7:16 a.m. and be 0 feet in Larsen Bay. Well, let's hear what the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has to say.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 7, date issued June 23rd at 10 a.m. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Thursday, June 23rd, until 9 p.m. Saturday, June 25th, in the following areas. In the Outer Karluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, and the Cape Alatak, Humpy Dead Man, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. The Outer Iakuluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District will close to commercial salmon fishing at 9 p.m. Thursday, June 23rd. The following areas will close to commercial salmon fishing at 9 p.m. Friday, June 24th. The Duck Bay, Iziut Bay, Inner Katoy Bay, and Outer Katoy Bay sections of the Afognak District. Closed waters are reduced in the following locations until 9 p.m. Friday, June 24th. In Katoy Bay, to the fish and game markers located at Little Katoy and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252, 323, and 252, 324. As previously announced, the following areas remain open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice: the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Closed waters are reduced in the following locations until further notice: in Fowl Bay, to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251, 406, and in Waterfall Bay, to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251, 822, and to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251, 821. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak area salmon statistical chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Well, tonight at the Balanced Approach, the LGBTQ-friendly glow-in-the-dark yoga class is going on. The class itself starts at 7 p.m., and body painting starts at 6:45. That's going on at a Balanced Approach. Anyone 14 years old and up can sign up on Zen Planner if you are already a member of a Balanced Approach, or send them an email to info@abakodiak.com. You can also find out more at the Kodiak Pride Facebook page. Tomorrow, 18 years old and up, you can sign up on the Zen Planner and the same email address for a drag how-to class. That's also going on at the Balanced Approach. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. It's sponsored, co-sponsored by a Balanced Approach. Learn to do makeup and all things drag with their special guest, Sonova, who is visiting from Miami. And again, check the Kodiak Pride Facebook page for more details. And the Rainbow Run is happening on Saturday. It's sponsored by the Kodiak Arts Council and the Shunack Tribe. There are 5K and 1 mile route options. The run walk will start and finish at the Kodiak High School parking lot. And registration begins at 10:30 a.m. on Friday. The 5K will start at 11 and the 1 mile will start at 11:15. The first 250 participants will receive a wooden medal made by Kodiak Lightworks. Post-race celebration begins immediately following the run walk. Food will be available for purchase, and activities including a Zumba party and a family-friendly drag show will occur. The event is all free to the public. Donations will be accepted for the Kodiak High School Gender Sexuality Alliance. And again, check in the Kodiak Pride Facebook page for more details. The Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center will be having their regular monthly meeting of the Board of Directors next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Guests are welcome. Call 486-6171 or email them at contact at kwrcc.org for more information on how to attend. And don't forget, next Monday at 1 p.m. is the library's next Bridge Club meeting. This club welcomes seasoned players of contract bridge. 1 p.m. next Monday.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.